We are live.
What's up, George? What's going on in the House of Craze tonight?
In the House of Craze tonight, we have a very funny, very talented writer. He's got a comic book called Storm Chasers. It's on Kickstarter right now. We're going to be talking to him very next.
Very next. Now, that's funny. Let's get it.
Show for independence all around, giving you a platform to spread your word all over town. Cast the Craze is the place to promote to your fans with the dream of Medina and Sam the Crazy Man. Subscribe to our show and never miss an episode. It's time to get your match. Listen to us on the go. Updated every week. We never miss a day. Join the squad. Come on in. It's time to cast the Craze. If you are an independent,
cast the Craze.
Making moves on your own.
Cast the Craze.
On your grind in the streets.
Cast the Craze.
Join the movement.
Catch the Craze.
Yeah, George, we did it again. Come on now. You know you want to do it. Catch the Craze.
Welcome to Catch the Craze Podcast. I'm your host with the most, Sam the Crazy Man Vera, and I am with
George the Dreamer Medina. What's happening, everyone? Welcome to another exciting episode of Catch the Craze. We are live once again. It is Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 p.m. over there where Sammy's at. And we are coming to you live with another special guest. He's going to be talking to us about his book, Storm Chasers, very next. You're going to be hearing about that. And what's going on with you, Sam? What's going on over there in Tejas?
Tejas. What's up, Marv?
Marv's still
What's up, Marv? What's up, Johnny boy in the his house?
Marv's show's coming up on Friday. You don't want to miss it. Marvin Wynn will be with us on Friday.
What's going on? Let's see. I still got the sniffles and the coughs, son of a biscuit eater. And I'm getting ready for the Fan Expo, Dallas Fan Expo. Next Saturday, the 17th through the 19th. I'm excited about that. I'm at booth number 1409 in Artist Alley.
That's your first big show, right? Like since you've been
in
back.
A hot
right?
minute.
Right? Yeah. No, like for like if you think about back. It, right? Since you've been back, this is your very first big show. Because you came back in 19, didn't do anything. Then the pandemic hit in 2020. Then, you know, we slowly started getting back to it last year, 2021.
Yeah. ZoloCon last year.
Smaller convention.
Yeah, PowCon and EternalCon.
A couple of small ones. And now this one, bam, the big one.
There's 80,000 people, legit. You know, there's got like 200 artists in the Artist Alley that are just packed in like sardines. So it's gonna be a free-for-all. So all I'm saying is make sure you have artist etiquette. When I'm talking to a customer, don't invade my space.
Yeah. What's up with the mask?
Having my business.
What's up with the mask mandate? Are they going to have like a mask mandate there?
It's optional. I think it's optional. At your own risk or whatever it is. I think you're so.
You better eat your Wheaties, Sam. You better go in there.
I got my mask on tight. It's gonna be glued. I would put great glue.
You is not gonna be optional for you. It's gonna be you gonna sound
don't
like
you dash these. Don't you
Darth
dash
Vader.
These.
You gonna be sound like Darth Vader out there.
I'm in there with two cans of Lysol, like sack, sack.
Yeah, you better. Because the last time you were at an event like this, you came back all sniffly and
yeah, I went to Vegas and I got screwed up.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's up, Martino? I got to Vegas and Vegas got me. And I'm still, you know, getting over that stuff. But so I'll be there at the Fan Expo. We'll do a quick little, you know, indie news. Tops in the Bronx.
Tops in the Bronx.
Thing is So,
you brought it in for the live show today. All right.
Yeah, I brought it for the live show. Yeah, yeah. So, okay. If you back there nailing on my toilet and you come over to my booth at that Fan Expo, if you're a Dallas resident or if you're traveling out here for the con, if you back the campaign, you come meet me at my booth, I got a special gift for you. So, all you have to do, let me know who you are. I'll confirm it. And then, bam, you'll walk away with a gift. So, that's a special gift there. And again, just a reminder, if you backed The Adventures of Wonder Duck and you backed his name into my toilet, you're going to get this, bam, magnet, 3 inches by 4 inches. Lots of great incentives. So I'm excited about that. So the campaign's running now, 22 days left. Let's make it happen. And again, if we get to 100 backers, everybody gets a print, bong, not framed, you're going to get the print. But so stop acting up. But so that's also available as well. And if you add, this is new, guys. If you add the add-on for Comic Book for Kids, where you donate books to the kids, you'll get a commission sketch card by me, just as saying thank you for supporting the Comic Book for Kids. I'm sending Cyfax on my behalf to your booties.
Cyfax. Yeah. No, that's awesome, bro. That's awesome. Yeah, so you guys definitely want to make sure you get in on that. Make sure you pledge to the campaign right now if you haven't done so yet. Go pledge to the campaign. The link is in the show notes, and I think it's in the chat also. So if you guys are watching this on YouTube, check it out. If you're not watching on YouTube, come on over to YouTube and check it out. We have we're on here. But also, just to piggyback on Sam's announcement, I've sent out a bunch of surveys for my campaign now that it's finally done. And I'm waiting for the funds to come back in. There will be an update tonight after the show. I'm sending out an update. In the update, you will get one of the PDFs that was promised to you guys. I'm not going to send it via email yet because I don't have everybody's email just yet, but I don't want you to miss this. Because the guest that's coming up right now has the campaign that he's running is running until the 11th. But I want you guys to read the first issue of the books that he is crowdfunding for. And if you read that first book, I'm pretty sure you're going to get hooked and you're going to say, man, I need issue 2, issue 3, issue 4. Those are happening right now on Kickstarter. So you can pledge to those as well. So be looking out for that update tonight and with that PDF. So that's what's happening. But make sure you fill out the surveys too, because I need to know where to send these books when they start coming in. So I'm going to need your address. I'm going to need a couple of things.
Oh, I don't
know. T-shirt sizes, colors you want, all that other fun stuff. So make sure you fill them out.
Your address? Yo, tread lightly.
Your address.
Tread lightly.
Give me your address. Yo. I need to know.
Look at those shifty eyes, bro. We haven't even reminded everybody. If you're watching this, whether you're on Facebook, you're on Twitch, YouTube, don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already. For every new subscriber, that's a new set of eyes that's on our guests. So when we grow, the indie community grows. So don't forget, subscribe to Catch the Craze podcast. And if you're listening to us on the streaming platforms like Spotify and Pandora, same thing, head over to YouTube channel and subscribe, because that's what we do it for the indie community. So it would be nice if you were on those platforms, leave a little comment, give us a little rating. That'd be nice. When we grow, the world grows. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, bro. Yeah. We're on the road to 1,000 still. We're 2 away from 600. So let's get to 600 backers. I mean, subscribers right now. Backers. That'd be nice, right? 600 backers. But 600 subscribers. Let's get there. We are 2 away. Let's get there before, let's say, the end of the week. How's that?
Work.
Let's see if we can get there. I have some stuff, bro. I have some stuff that I want to raffle off as we get closer and closer to that 1,000. I don't know if we should do it at 700 or 800, but big shout out to Alex Rivera, who was the inker on one of the covers on the cover that I did for The Adventures of Wonder Duck. Word. He actually did a piece for me from scratch. He actually inked over the pencils of one of the artists from Studio Nine Lives. He put that whole thing together. And it's an 11 by 17 original art that he inked. And he said, here, George, give it to your listeners and watchers as a thank you. So, that's waiting for you guys. I'll show it to you. I have it not here with me, but on the next show, on the next live show, you'll see it.
Damn, she's teasing.
As we get closer, we need to get to that 1,000, bro, before the end of the year. We got to get it.
Yes. So, now you're never going to get it.
Oh, okay. Tranquila, take it easy, man.
Don't you believe that? Remember that? Bro, where's this from? I don't know where it comes to, but it just popped in my head, and you know how I do, right? This time, I didn't forget the gravy.
No, where's it from?
I know, chat.
Anybody in the chat?
Anybody who knows where that's from?
You said that, and we dropped the watcher. Like, that's crazy. What are
we doing? It was from one of the was it Tom and Jerry?
Yes.
And so, you know, he always had to get up the dog. The dog was bullying the cat to get the food. And so this time the dog's in the hospital because he ate too much. And now he comes with a funnel. And he's like, this time I didn't forget the gravy. And he's already big. He's like, no. yo, cartoons were hardcore back then. Yo, it was nuts. He killed that guy.
Cartoons were serious. Cartoons were serious, bro. Anvils were being dropped on cartoon characters.
Anvils. I mean, Bugs Bunny, man. He was a cross-dresser. It was crazy back then, And we didn't even think anything of it.
We just laughed. We just laughed and,
Now, forget about it. Everybody's a little bit oversensitive. So I think we're about that time where we're going to bring in our guest. He's been chomping at the bits. I just hope he doesn't spill his beer this time. So let's bring him out. Our very special guest, the man that George calls funny.
He's hysterical.
Rosario. Yo, what's up?
What?
What?
Oh, yeah, you're laughing already, man. Yeah. Because I'm like, put me in coach. When he's calling out the cartoon, I'm like, I know what it is. It's Tom and Jerry. I remember all of that stuff, bro. Yeah. Yo, I'm a cartoon head. I'm all about that stuff, brother. Oh, you're like, don't forget the gravy. I'm like, I haven't heard that in years. Sam is my new soulmate. Oh my god. I'm like, I already kicked my wife out of the house. I'm like, Sam's gonna fucking move in right now. He said, don't forget the gravy. I'm like, oh man, all this stuff's going on. I want the frame. I want the frame. What do I want to do with the frame, bro? I'm gonna be in Dallas on July 9th. Okay, let me know. I'll come through. I'll pick up the motherfucking frame. I'll put that shit back in my suitcase. I'm going to put that shit down on lock. Yeah. I'll get in the frame. All right? You don't even have to be home. Your wife could be there, and she'd be like, who the fuck is that fat guy that came that wanted the frame? And he'd be like...
Yo, did I not say that he was funny? Was I lying when I said that?
Oh, shit. Yo, and I'm not drinking yet. Imagine if I was drinking. This is my first time on here with you guys.
Yo, but why is JD Calderon throwing shade? He's talking about...
Oh, man, because he's jealous. He's at work right now. Tough. Tough. Go to work at 4:30 in the morning like me, and then you could be on the show.
There you go. Oh, my God.
You know what? I'm sorry I'm missing the Fan Expo, man. Had I known that it was next weekend... I would have my trip up from July to the 9th of June. Yeah. So good luck out there, man. Good luck, bro. I know what it's like to get that artist encroachment, bro. You know, that's why that's why I come with a team. You know? So they're out blocking. We got somebody at every corner, you know what I mean? And it's just like blah blah blah. Because I do corner booths. I always do corner booths at shows, man.
Yeah, well, what's your next one, Jay? What's your next show?
New York Comic Con.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah, man. Home field advantage. You know, nice. We spent a lot of money for that show, but since we don't pay, for travel and we don't pay for lodging and stuff like that, we can do a little bit extra. You know, I pay for extra tickets. I got two of the artists that work with me coming up from Colombia. They're gonna be here doing sketch covers. And then again, I got my wife. I have my brother-in-law, my sister, my boys. Great. Crew throwing it down. Wow, we kill it.
You're pulling deep, bro.
No, we have to.
The show started pretty hot, so we didn't even get a chance to even introduce you to the audience. Jay just started shooting.
Bob, bro. He said, don't forget the gravy. Bro, I gotta come in on that.
That set him off. It was a wrap. Once you said that, it was a wrap. So, all right. So, for those who don't know who Jay D. Rosario is, just give us a quick intro and tell us who Jay D. Rosario is.
All right. So J.D. Rosario is a knucklehead who thought he could make comic books 20 years ago and failed a hell of a lot. before he finally got the ball rolling. And for the last 15 years, I have been producing comic books under the imprint Unstoppable Comic Books. We generated quite a big catalog with titles such as The Storm Chasers, Shield of the Interceptor, New York versus the World, Dragon Storm, and supplementary titles such as Unstoppable Origins or The Character Guide, which is kind of like the old Marvel Universe handbook. So we built up quite a nice catalog. Just trying to keep the train rolling. I chose the name Unstoppable Comics, not because we're some great big engine of destruction, but because, you know, we're more like that train that's, I think I can.
Little engine that could.
Yeah, man. You guys are creators yourselves, and you know the struggles out there, man. And no matter what, you're going to hit speed bumps. And I don't know how long you guys have been doing this, but I've seen a lot of guys, you know, and girls drop off. Mm-hmm. You know, and more than half of the battle is just sticking with it and finding a good support team. So, yeah, you guys brought up the squad. But I'm lucky that I got people who are willing to travel, not just my wife, to do shows like C2E2. We failed on MegaCon, but prior to the pandemic, you know, we did things from all the way down in Puerto Rico Comic-Con all the way up to Boston.
Yeah, that's awesome.
We did a lot of East Coast shows. Anything we could pack the trunk and just hike it with.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
as far out as Chicago. So we did Philly. We did some Wizard World, stuff like that.
Yeah, how was C2E2? How is that show?
The last C2E2 I did was before the pandemic. So, excuse me, not the one right before the pandemic, the year prior to that one.
Okay.
It was nice. It was about 70,000 people. You hit a different community. You get out of your comfort zone. And I know it sounds weird, but like, I know how to operate on the East Coast already. I know how to sell to people. I know how to trigger them to get them to take a look at the books and stuff like that. In Chicago, I was working a totally different crowd, man.
Yeah,
like I got this one book called New York versus the World, and it's about New York survivors during the zombie apocalypse. And I was trying to hit them with, hey, listen, if you love New Yorkers, watch us try to survive the zombie apocalypse. If you hate New Yorkers, watch us get eaten during the zombie apocalypse, right? Triggering with the Yankee stuff, you know what I mean? The only good player out of Chicago was Frank Thomas. Everybody else is shit compared to what the Yankees were able to produce.
You should have him with Sammy Sosa, though. You should have him with Sammy.
Sammy White, White Boy Sosa?
You should have hit him with that, though.
Yo, kid. Oh, my God.
It's interesting that you say that, though, Jay, because, like, you really do have to cater to whatever, you know what I mean? Like, there's got to be, like, you call them triggers. And it's interesting that – so what are some of the ones that work in the East Coast, you think? What are some of the things that you've used? I mean, when you go to Boston, I mean, you can't use – do you use the Yankee thing? Like, what are some of the triggers?
I don't. So being of Puerto Rican descent, I play on that. I play on that big time, you know? When you're outside of our circle, you don't know who's from where, right? I mean, we could tell, you know, just by – how people roll, you know, if they're PR, DR, Guada, fucking, you know, whatever, bro. You could just tell when people come up. So it's like, you know, if you're in Boston and you see it, like one of my characters is based on Tainoian mythology, right? Okay. So, you know, we'll rep the flag on a few pieces and they'll see that and boom, we'll pull them in. And once we start to pull in a crowd, that kind of gets other people, you know, to find out, oh, what's going on over there that triggers them, that interests them. Another way we trigger people is we work the cosplay crowd. We do.
Really?
And it's something as simple as, hey, what's up? What's going on? Can we take your picture? And, you know, we get them to stand in front of the banner, not my fat ass, but just the cosplayers. And if they're wanting to, no problem. You know, if not, no, we're not forcing anybody.
Yeah.
But we get that to happen, and then other crowds start to form around that, and while other people are taking pictures, then, you know, either myself or somebody in the squad starts to pick up on some of the people.
good for you. See, that's some veteran moves, bro. That's a guy who's been doing this for a few years. You're 15 years, dude. So you got a big catalog, and I know we're joking around, but your books, bro, they're serious and they're deep, man. Tell us a little bit about, like, what influenced you in your writing journey? Like, what were some of the things that influenced you?
Life experiences. Yeah, growing up a New Yorker, you see everything, right? Yeah. And I grew up reading Avengers, Justice League, Captain America, Batman. I never knocked it. I'm not mm-hmm. trying to put that stuff down, but I wasn't there. We weren't there, right? Captain America 334. I don't know if you guys remember that one. That's the one where John Walker took over the costume.
Oh, right, okay.
It's a full white cover, and he's jumping, and he's on the side, and next to him is the character that would be named Battlestar, right? The character named Bucky. I picked that up when I was a kid in Puerto Rico, and you know, one of my grandmothers, Afro Latina, and we were in a small town called Caguas, and she was like, "Oh, look, one of them looks like you, one of them looks like me," and oh. Neither one of them was Puerto Rican. You know what I mean? But here's my grandmother going, this is something that I can use to find some sort of common ground with my grandson, right? And that's a special book for me. So take that and expand that on throughout comic books, right? We had other than that, we had the White Tiger. I don't know about you guys. I'm no historian or anything like that, but I'm pretty sure there were never any tigers on the island of Puerto Rico or martial arts founded on the island. So that never worked with me. And then on DC, you had Vibe, the breakdancing car thief. And it's like, oh, where was that? So filling out my cast, it's not like I was trying to play racial bingo. It was, okay, what's in my life? What do I feel was missing? So one of the characters in the Storm Chasers book, he is of Burmese Thai descent. One of my boys growing up, his mom was Puerto Rican. His pop was from Thailand, right? Mm-hmm. His pop, after my pop passed away, was like a father to me, right? He got on my case when I was a knucklehead, and he showed me love when I did the right thing. So throwing that character in there makes me think of him, right? It's my way to honor him. I grew up not far from Far Rockaway, and people who are familiar with that area know it's a strong West Indian community. So that's why the Jamaican character, right? His name is Rockaway. It just plays off of that, plays off of where I came from. Mm-hmm. And then the main character, or at least the main character of the first arc of the Storm Chasers, his name is Star Striker, of Puerto Rican descent, of Taino, based on Taino Indian mythology. But his costume is pretty much the flag of Puerto Rico turned upside down. So that's why his star is pointed down on the chest, because when you turn the flag down, when it's, you know, in a sign of war, then that's what's going on there. But I didn't want to make Captain Puerto Rico.
Right.
You know, it just... It doesn't flow. It doesn't read like right. Some other creators out there lean too heavily into that stuff, and they're kind of pushing away other parts of the market that would just be interested in purchasing those books. So yeah. I gotta try to find that line between what I feel is good enough for representing my culture and what I'm interested in, but also keep it in general for the rest of the community to purchase.
Right. Yes, because you don't want to alienate. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Look at that. Twinsies.
Twinsies out here, kid.
Look at that.
You said it the same way, too. How's that all about? Now it's awkward. Jay, now it's awkward.
It was awkward. Now it's awkward.
It was cute for a second. Now it's freaking awkward. Let's move on. Next
you looked down in the urinal. You looked down at the urinal. You should have stayed facing straight, bro. Why'd you look down?
That meme where you got the guy that's in the urinal and there's 20 empty urinals and then the guy goes walks all the way.
Yes, it's like, my man, really? Really? I should just piss on you just for doing that. You know what I'm saying?
Piss on your foot right now just for that, bro. Get away from me. No, but Jay, no, listen, man, that's awesome, bro. I think that injecting, you know, who you are and the things you went through, you know, growing up, it's important. You know what I mean? I think you write what you know sometimes, and this is what you're doing. So, Storm Chasers, right? Mm-hmm. So now 8 books, bro. Is this an ongoing series or
it was, but it's gonna we'll call it a maxi series, right? It's gonna end right here, so I can explore other books.
Okay.
You know, we're new creators. We don't have rich uncles. We don't have, you know, we don't have private capitalist or VC money injected into us, right? Everything comes from our blood, sweat, and tears. I do have stories that I would like to explore with the Storm Chasers, right? But let's expand the catalog a little bit more. Let's diversify. Let's tackle some of the other stories that I'd like to get into. Not saying I'm not going to do superhero stuff at all. Not saying that the Storm Chasers won't show up in any of the other books that we got coming up. But for now, that's a solid story. It's complete. And let's not put it to bed, but let's use it to help expand people's awareness of what's going on in Unstoppable Comics.
Yeah, no, that's awesome, dude. And you, I mean, obviously you have other titles and stuff like that. I know that you had another campaign with a couple of indies as well for one of your other titles, the Long Shots on Indiegogo, and I think it was called Fellowship of the Indies.
Yeah,
right, right. Version
on Kickstarter. So tell us a little bit about that book and what's included in that.
So with that, my book was Shield of the Interceptor. And going back to the whole Captain America thing, loved it. Out of everything, Captain America was always my jam. But I can't write Captain America. What can I do? What can I go along with those parallel lines, but throw some of my interests in there? So you look at Captain America, white guy from the States. His shield's origins are based in science. Well, Shield of the Interceptor, you know, he's a man of color, comes from the UK, and his shield comes from magic, comes from mythology. And diving a little bit more into that, if you know about the sword Excalibur, well, there was never a shield that went with it. And all the research I did, I never heard anything about a shield. I heard about a knife, a spear, a cape, but nothing about a shield. And I'm like, okay, what if there was a shield that went with it? And now I'm able to play along the lines of that Arthurian mythology, of that Midsummer Night's Dream, Shakespeare, pull in a lot of that mythological cast, right? But not be bound to its rules because we're going in a separate direction with the shield. So, you know, it's one man with one shield, and when he has to choose, which world is he defending? Which one does he go after? And he gets the whole Peter Parker complex, yeah. Right? When the personal life is doing well, the superhero life is down in the dumps, and then vice versa. So when he's doing the right thing over in Avalon, well, stuff over here is falling behind. When he does his stuff right over here, then things in Avalon go back in the hole. So that's a Forge for miniseries. The first two issues, I got lucky, and I was helped by the writer named Brandon Easton. I don't know if you guys ever heard of him. He did the first season of the new Transformers cartoon that was on Netflix. Wrote on the Thundercats reboot in 2011. He wrote on Peggy Carter, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. He just finished a Mr. Miracle mini over for DC. So, you know, he helped me get the ball rolling with some concepts. And he did the first two issues. I did issues 3 and 4. And again, once that miniseries was done, we put it to the side and we started to explore something else.
I love that, man. I love that. And so Storm Chasers 1 through 8, the campaign is live right now. If you guys are watching, the campaign is live right now. It's on Kickstarter.
Yeah.
It's let's see, we got 7. Damn, I hate when they start doing this, bro.
7. Oh, the hour countdown. Oh, dude. Clock is ticking now.
Oh, 71 hours. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like it just makes it look like so much sooner. You know what I mean? Like it ends on Saturday, but like when you say 71 hours, like, yo, let's go, guys.
The park starts racing.
Yeah, for real.
Dude, I saw 3 days before I got on right now. So yes. My heart is racing right now on the show. I'm like, what the fuck?
So should we play the trailer? What's up, Sam?
If you want to play the trailer, it's cool. No problem.
Yeah. All right, let's do that. Real quick.
Hey, folks. Thanks for checking out the Storm Chasers campaign for issues number 1 through 8 right here on Kickstarter. This superhero action adventure weighs in at a whopping 200 pages combined. It features the flagship team of the Unstoppable Comics universe and contains heroes with diverse backgrounds that hail from all across the globe. The current story arc focuses on a retired hero that used to lead the team and returns to the Storm Chasers looking for help in rescuing her kidnapped daughter. But she finds the team in shambles, a shell of what they once were, and must rebuild the Storm Chasers if there's any chance to save her baby girl. If knocked down, drag out, big-ass fight scenes are your thing, with strong interpersonal connections and deep character storytelling, then you are in the right place. These issues are written by J.D. Rosario, illustrated by Russ Leach and Andres Barrero, colored by Michael Summers, with some covers provided by Carlos Granda. The Storm Chasers are important on Unstoppable Comics because this is where it all started. It took years of hard work and years of learning even harder lessons to get to this point. And it never would have happened without the support from so many of you. For those that have been with us throughout the years, picking up all of our other books, we can't thank you enough. We know you're here for one thing, and that is Storm Chasers number 8. But for those of you just hearing about us, there's still time to pick up the first 7 issues. And if you want more, we have that too. Spinoffs such as Shield of the Interceptor, Dragonstorm, Unstoppable Origins, or even the official character guide of Unstoppable Comics, where you can find data pages that contain power sets, origin stories, and a little bit extra that you won't find in the regular issues. All of this is still available in trades or in limited single issues. You can dive deep into the world of Unstoppable Comics or just take a dip in the water. In either case, you guys backing us in any form is greatly appreciated, and for that, we thank you.
Man, I hate the sound of my own voice. Holy shit.
JD, I do have to say, seeing your squad, there's nobody getting close to your table. Like, those guys look like they don't play, son. I'm telling you right now. I was like, nah, man. I'm waiting for you to finish. I'm gonna let you finish.
Yo, I got stories for you, bro. I got stories for you that I cannot tell on the air.
Those guys. I can tell.
People are gonna get bodied at some shows, bro. yo, and we're talking about some names. We're gonna get bodied, kid.
Oh my God.
Yes. You know what? Yes. When the show's over, let's just have another few more moments so I can give me some of that. All right.
Oh God. No, but listen, man, that was a good video. I mean, you told us what it was. I didn't realize that, you know, what the premise was of the book. That's a very interesting premise. Storm Chasers, the name, where did that come from? The Storm Chasers name.
I needed something that was powerful and energizing. Right? Mm-hmm. Something that wasn't as long-winded as Justice League of America, but triggered the same way the Avengers triggered. And that's that, yeah. You know? Something happened recently, though, that just, it made my, tighten my ass up, man. I was like, I don't know if you guys saw The Boys. Yeah, the new season?
I haven't seen the new season yet. No, I've seen
the other. Oh, okay. So... You saw season 2, right?
Yes.
Okay, you remember the German lady, the German Nazi lady?
Yes, of course.
Okay, so she has a fan base in season 3.
Oh,
and
really?
What do they call themselves?
The Storm Chasers.
And I'm like, son of a bitch. You know, they got to have me tied to some neo-Nazis on this other show, okay? But, you know, the way legalities are, there's nothing I can do about that at all, right? I don't own the name. If I wanted to, I'd have to trademark Unstoppable Comics, the Storm Chasers, right? Just like Marvel's The Avengers, right? They were able to get over it. That happened. It was a show prior to them taking off in the movies. So whatever, that can exist. I can exist. And
as long as you
rolling.
Can exist, bro, as long as they don't turn that back on you, talk about, hey, you got to change it. That, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, we ain't going to have, that ain't going to happen.
Nah.
Ain't gonna happen, okay.
Send the fellas out.
You see the squad.
No, man, and I noticed that you changed the logo for the last issue, right? The logo's different?
So originally, the Storm Chaser started off as Ash Can books, right? Small 12-page books that we rolled off of our printer. And, you know, Early on, we were handing those out at shows, not knowing what the hell we were doing. Once we got our legs under us, once we had learned about print on demand with a company out in Jersey called Comic Express, something like that. We could do something different. They were still the 12-page stories. Kept going a little bit. Then by the time we got to issue number 4, you know, we started doing shows full time and we were starting to build that little catalog. So with the money that came in, we redid the ash cans. We called them reduxes. And we fleshed them out from 12-page stories to full 24-page stories. We had used the original logo, but by the time we got to issue number five, it was like, maybe we need to do something different. And, you know, it's all about learning, and it's about what you do next and stuff. And can one logo be read easier from a distance than the other one? I think the new one can, you know. Yeah. And you're always looking at, you know, concepts such as when books are stacked, what's behind, you know, and it's going to be the logo that shows the most, the title. Yeah. So something easy to read, something that stands out, something that's bold, doesn't have to be too intricate. And that's where we're rolling with this now.
Yeah, no, it looks good. I like it.
Thanks.
I like it.
Thanks.
I like it. Man, 8 books, bro. That's a feat. That's a
200 total pages. Oh, free shipping.
Insane, dude.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's great. You know, that's not just that. I mean, if people want, you know, the accessory stuff, well, you got another 100 pages with the Unstoppable Comics character guide. And then you've got like another 90 pages if you want to do the Origins book, which takes some of the characters from the Storm Chasers and expands on them, right? You only get a few panels to figure some people out in the team books. Yeah, so, you know, we get to expand on the origin story of the Interceptor, of Star Striker, who's based on Tainoini mythology, of the main villain, of, you know, a few others, you know. Yeah. And then you see we got trading cards. One of the things that's
awesome.
I love adding trading cards, right? We're on the same age, guys. We grew up in the '80s and the '90s, and I love these little gimmicks. I love adding trading cards to the stuff. It doesn't raise your shipping cost, right? It doesn't hurt the pocket.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's a little bit extra that people are like, oh, okay. You know, and those gimmicks stand out.
Yeah.
No, I do. I like who makes your trading card? Is it Russ Leach that's doing them, or
no, dude? I got a whole bunch of people that have contributed to the trading card. Awesome. You know, when you do as many shows as I've done over the years, you meet so many different artists that you want to work with, but you know, you're committed to the team that brought you to the dance, right? You always give them first dibs on whatever you got coming up. So if I can work with, you know, one of these new people to do either pinups for the character guide or trading cards, let's do that. Cause at least we'll do business together. Right.
Yeah. Nah, dude, you got so much stuff in here, bro. Like this is, you have, I didn't realize these were graphic novels that you had going on here. 478 page,
100
page graphic novels on here. 96, you've put in work, bro.
Yeah, brother. Yeah, bro.
Holy cow, dude. Yeah. And you know
a
what?
A lot of hair pulling.
Yeah, we've had Russ Leach on the show. His artwork is incredible.
Russ is the man, dude.
Yo, that what is the book that he's had?
Only Death Can Save Us.
Only Death Can Save Us.
Yes,
dude. His artwork is ridiculous. So the fact that you got him working on these interior pages, man, those pages look incredible, dude. Incredible.
Yeah, dude.
So,
and
what's your favorite tier? Like, what would you recommend for people who maybe don't know much about JD? Like, where should you jump on?
There's the 8-issue tier, right? Whether it's digital or whether it's print, you're getting the complete story, right? 200 pages are popping, and again, it's free shipping. And from beginning to end, you'll see how the story morphs. You'll see how, you know, it's more than just 3-act structure that was involved in it. You'll see the story's going one way, and then it'll flip on you, and by the end of it, you see how everything comes together. You see how it's the story of a woman who's trying to rescue her daughter, right? And she's going to her people for help, but they're all fucked up. Excuse me. Right? and she needs to bring them back together for her daughter to only have a chance. And going into that though, you got to set up why these people are screwed up. So you gotta show them falling down before you can show them coming back up.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel, bro. This is aliens. It's Ripley, right? How do you get a male-driven market to put money into a female-led book? Even though there's a team involved, well, you go after the mom and the cub story, right? And that's what Aliens was about. That was Ripley saving her daughter, right? The little girl. And everybody has a mom. Right. And you draw some sort of emotional attachment to that. And then you build out these pretty costumes and these various character interactions people who work with each other, people who don't work with each other, and how they find ways to work with each other. And if that is the defining moment of why they should be called heroes, not.
Yeah. No, I like the fact that you like, even you mentioned it within the campaign, where you're taking a genre that we all know, superheroes, but you, JD, has a story to tell within that genre, and that's what makes it different, right? That's the difference between all the others. And so this is the story you're telling. And now you're saying 1 through 8. So when you pick up 1 through 8 here, you're picking up the entire arc, you're putting that to the side, and we're working on something else. But this is where you can get 1 through 8.
Yes, yes. I mean, once this is over, you can pick it up on our website also. Right. But, you know, we're trying to get these bad boys rolling, right? Kickstarters are where you get to throw the other tchotchkes in there. You get to build a nice promotion for it. Once it goes onto the website, you have the product, but you're moving the product with every other book and every other shirt and every other tchotchke that you have on there. So you're not doing a direct promotion for one thing. Right here, you're putting all your marbles into this one basket for the Storm Chasers. Well, you know, the spotlight is shining on them right now.
Right. Yeah, talk about the tchotchkes. What are some of the tchotchkes?
Hey, Jonathan, what's up, buddy? So we've got shot glasses, which are always my best sellers at conventions. You asked for a trigger before, right? And going back to the Puerto Rican character, I'm there with the little shot glass, and it's got a Puerto Rican flag on it. But who's gonna buy it? Well, listen, you may not be Puerto Rican, but I'm sure the rum you drink is. So make sure you give it a good home in our shot glasses, right? That's our trigger. We do that. We're rolling out on pins. This is the first time we're going to be doing holochrome covers. Nice. We talked about JD Calderon. He put me in touch with his printer. So, you know, it's a higher reward item, definitely for those people who have a couple more bucks in their pocket. But we're flooding them with more stuff in there. So it's not just the holochrome covers. Shirts, yeah. I mean, who doesn't love shirts, man? Going back to the business side of things, though,
yeah,
shirts for any creators like us, those are the higher margin products,
right?
We're buying shirts, I'm buying shirts in bulk, and I'm getting them for about $5, $5.50 a pop with shipping, and we're selling for $20, $25. We do it that way because if we're going to do 2-for-1 or you know, a discount where people buy multiples, well, we can do that without taking a hit, right? We're still making something on that. But when you need every penny you can to promote and produce the next book, things like shirts are going to help you get to that point. And then trading cards, man. Trading cards just expand the universe. Makes it feel like it's more lived in.
Yeah. Jonathan's going to get the shot glass. He doesn't even drink. What up, Gilbert? How you doing, buddy? Welcome to the Gilbert. Show. No, this is, yo, bro, this is awesome, man. You have so many things. Now, that. As far as, well, what else you got? So you got t-shirts. I'm sorry, keep going.
Yeah.
T-shirts.
No, shot t-shirts, glasses, trading cards, shot glasses. We're going to be doing pins now. You know, if you scroll down a little bit more. Man, I got a lot of shit on here. All right. So here are the pins, right? And these are just artist renditions. Dragonstorm, he's one of the characters. People love chibis. So we're doing that. And then we're taking the Star Striker character and we're putting it in front of the flag of resistance of Puerto Rico. You know, that's those who know, right? And those who would be into that, hopefully pick that up. Trying to play a little bit off of that old Scarface black and white negative image, but you know, the whole thing didn't fade into it, but still it worked. I hope it worked.
No, it looks good. It's good. So I was gonna ask you why the black and white, but I get it now. I totally get what you're saying.
I mean, because his colors are whatchamacallit, they're, you know, red, white, and blue. But the black and white, you gotta rep that flag of resistance, brother. You know? Awesome. And then we got our stretch goals. Hopefully we hit somebody's stretch goals and you know, I got lucky with fellow collaborators like yourself, Jorge. Like Brian Rodman with the Nebulizer and with Marvin Wynn over with The Edge, right? And a little bit of cross promotion. Wow, how do I say this without sounding like an ass? You know, we're all out here to make money, plain and simple, right? And some people don't know how to work with others when it comes down to making money. Some people know, okay, how to play the game and understand, for lack of a better cliche, steel sharpens steel, right? Mm-hmm. I want you to do better than me, because if you're doing better than me, then I'm going to learn from you. And then once I level up, you're going to learn from me, right? I can compete with people. People hate the word competition, mm-hmm. right? But mm-hmm. I can compete with you. I don't know if it's like, maybe it's a New York in me, right? You got to be good in three things: playing baseball, playing handball, and chasing girls, right? Those are the three games you got to be good at.
I love handball.
You know what I mean? but it's like, you could do that stuff, yeah. right? You can compete with your boys or the people on the block, but then you can still have a beer with them at the end of the day, right? Competition doesn't have to be, I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to tear your shit down. I'm going to, you know, rip your stuff apart. No, man. I want you to do better than me, because it's going to make me hungrier, and it's going right. to make me fight for more, you know, yeah. make me work harder on the next thing. And again, if you're working with people and you understand that, there's that exchange of information, right? Jorge, you and I are building up a good exchange of information. Marvin and me, a great exchange of information. You said you're going to have Marvin on the show on Friday. Yo, he's a good dude, man.
Yeah,
you want to know about networking? Yo, he is the man when it comes to networking.
Yeah.
I am impressed by how much work Marvin puts into his networking skill.
Yeah.
So it's little things like that, right? And if we can share PDFs with each other, well, we're not coming out of pocket. We're not hurting. We already paid for the production on it, right? We already got our money back when we put our Kickstarters together, and hopefully they funded. So if a little bit of that love is going to help somebody else grow, and then likewise, then why not, right? And then there's those people who are digital backers only. Well, they get something with the stretch goal. They don't feel like they're left out. And then, okay, the people who are putting in the money for the physical rewards, they'll get something extra like the cards, right? They'll get tangible product. So hopefully with that concept, all three parties are loving it, living, you know, and maybe gaining something extra out of it.
Yeah. I think, and Sam uses the same thing. I mean, Sam's big on competition. I just think that the word competition isn't used the same outside of, say, for example, like you were talking about, I'm a New Yorker, and New Yorkers understand. Like, I think outside of that, competition has a very negative tone to it.
Yeah.
So I tend to think, and I've talked to guys about this, like my buddy Anibal, he has this analogy. He doesn't call it a competition, he calls it an expedition. We're all boats on this big ocean of water, and we're all traveling to a destination, and we're all trying to get there. And if we looked at it as competition, then we'd be trying to sink each other's boats. But we're not. We should all be trying to help each other to get to that destination.
Okay, you know, I like that.
So that's why I don't like to use the word competition.
Okay.
Within us, maybe we're like with Sam and I, when we do our joint, like, you know, friendly competition, we know each other, we're boys. But not everybody understands that concept.
Yeah. Yeah.
And some people take that word competition and look at it like, wait a minute, you're competing with me? Nah, you're not going to beat me. And now it gets all messed up. So like that to me, that's why I look at it as like and my boy Anib, I'll give him credit, an expedition. We're all on a journey together. And hopefully, and the mainland is almost like that mainstream. That's what we're trying to get. Because at the end of the day, you know, you can say whatever you want, but you're trying to get there. And some of us will make it, and some of us won't. It's a long journey. You know, you've been doing this for how long? And some people's boats don't make it there, and that's okay. You know what I mean? But if we're trying to sink each other because we're thinking it's competition, that's where it hurts the industry. Because we are the lifeline of that industry, bro. A lot of that's the boys wasn't a mainstream thing. The boys was underground. Like, the boys wasn't, you know what I mean? Like, so without us, there is no, you know, Amazon Prime shows like Invincible, even, because I mean, you know, he wasn't exactly mainstream either.
Dude, he was doing Battle Pope before he got you know what I mean? Before he got that Super Patriot miniseries.
Yeah,
and thank you, you know, because I am isolated here in New York, especially the last few years. And yeah, I probably sunk more into that term without even trying to think outside of that box. You know,
we got the same, you know, I think it's because where we come from, right? Because in the blocks and the neighborhoods we grew up in, everything was a competition. You got on the basketball court, you got on the handball court, anything you did, you were competing with somebody. So that word stuck out to you, right?
Yeah.
And to what George is saying, you know, in when you're in the creative space, there's a lot of people who take it offense to it when you use the word competition, but it's really a means of inspiration. So when I see somebody that's
freaking, you know, my layup shot sucks, but this guy's nailing it. I got to put in the work because I want to be just as good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's the way I look at it. Is like, you know, how did this person get this, get there? I need to be able to get there. And, you know, so, you know, I think it just comes back to where we came from.
Yeah. Nah, JD, listen, man, I listen, this is the first time I actually really talk with you, bro. But I'd love to, like, whenever you're at another convention, bro, we got to make it happen. Like,
what's your next one?
We got to get together. We're going to be up in Terrificon.
August.
The end of July. The end of July, beginning of August. Yeah, that one, like, towards the very end. Yeah.
Right. The Connecticut one. Yeah. I wanted to do that years ago, man. And I'm like,
Yeah. So we're gonna hit it up. You should come down. I was telling Sam, he should take a trip.
Man. You left too early, man. You left too early.
Hell no. You're crazy. The crime was getting out of control. New York is acting up.
You know what's funny? You're saying that, right? Yo, lived in New York most of my life, right? I lived in Virginia about 5-6 years. But only when I was in Orlando I involved in a drive-by shooting. Bro, you hear shots all the time.
What?
All the time out here. That's, yo, hand of God. Bro, I'm driving, right? All right, we're Spanish. We know what it's like when you're in the campo, right? In the islands or whatever, right? Excuse me, folks who are not of the melanin persuasion. I apologize. Right? It's the country hood in the islands. So I'm in that version in Florida, and yo, lights are out. There's no sidewalks. There's only gutters between the pavement and the houses. And there's a house party going on. I had just dropped off my wife at her mom's before we got married. We were still dating, right? So I'm going back to my cousin's place, and whatever. I'm headed through the country hood. House party going on. Person in front of me is out. Somebody pulls a U-turn behind me. We're on two single lane roads. It's dark. All right, cool. I don't think nothing. Yo, car behind me speeds up, goes on the other lane, and yo, they start barking shots in front of me. I'm like, I saw them boogie. Yo, I blew stop signs. I blew lights. I didn't even change my shorts before I got to my cousin's crib. I just went in there flooded. Right? I was like, what the fuck?
He's so flooded.
Yo, and out here, yo, I'm 46. Never have I involved in any of that out here in New York. I got to go out there to get that.
So it's crazy. I grew up in Jamaica, Queens.
Okay. That's right next to me. Yeah.
When I grew up, you know, in my neighborhood, if you didn't hear gunshots at night, something was wrong. You heard it all the time, right?
Yes.
It was right off of Hillside Avenue. It was right there. And so, but, you know, when I moved out of Queens, you know, and, you know, I got civilized and live, you know, work in the corporate environment, I got accustomed to quiet. I got accustomed to no nonsense. And then when the Rona hit and then all of these protests and riots and shootings, I was like, yo, crazy. I'm out. I'm out.
I get it.
But real quick, Sam, pull up that San Martino comment that he did. He said the crime. Didn't Sam get his banner stolen?
Oh, no.
In Vegas.
Yeah, at the expo in Vegas.
No. This year?
This year was just the expo, licensing expo.
Big banners, too, bro. Oh, it's not even like they were little banners. They were like
3 by 3 feet, two of them.
Yo, 8-foot banners.
No. Were they just roll ups that you can hang on hooks, or did they have the whole case, the whole, you know, zip up case?
They were roll ups that I put and mounted to the walls.
Okay.
And because they give you dimension for the slats, and so it was like 3 feet across by 8 feet long, and I went to, and it was, you know, the day that we got to take down our booths, and I got there and two of my banners were gone.
But see, I see that as a good thing. People want your shit. You know what I mean?
That's what you know. I have a theory though. Because unions, bro, unions. They wanted him to use them to hang them up. When Sam declined, they were like, okay, no problem. When you come back, those joints are going to be gone. And I think that that's my theory.
Really? The union is that strong over there? Because I know here the Javits.
Probably.
the Javits, they are like.
Bro, as soon as the lights go off, those carpets are coming up. And if your table's still sitting in the way, it's going with them. They don't.
Oh,
care.
Yeah, yeah. I was. No, I was care. Yeah, yeah. It's amazing at the on Thursday at the close of the venue. I mean, well, you know, at the 5 o'clock mark, it was done. And so now it's then all you heard was the lifts. I started to break out, and all the squads are coming in, getting ready to roll the carpets in the aisles. It was crazy. Yeah.
It's a wrap. It really is.
They didn't play. Damn. Really. So Tuesday, Thursday at 5 o'clock.
Thursday at 5 o'clock. Yeah, because the event is from Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and so Thursday at 5 o'clock they just start, and then you got till Friday midnight. So you got till Friday midnight to get your stuff completely gone. So I confirmed with them. I said, I'm good. So I'll be back in the morning. And when I got there, it was gone. I was like, and then, oh, you see, and at that time, it was just like, there was no carpet on the floor anywhere. And there was like at least 40% of the because Disney was there. They had their booths. All those big booths were half gone. Yeah. You know, it was just all you saw was just cranes and whatever lifts. And
yo, bro, they saw you coming, bro. They said, I'm going to get this motherfucker.
I'm going to get this. That's it.
But I got so sick over there, so I was like, yo, I don't have the strength to stop fighting with people because it was just like, you know what, whatever it is, let me just pack what I got left.
Yeah. Well, I hope it was worth the effort.
It was.
All right, good shit. That's a win, man. That's a win for all of us. Yeah. You know what I mean? You're leading the way for all of us on that department, man.
Big time. But yeah, no, hey, listen, guys, if you're watching, make sure you pledge to the campaign. We are talking
Steve
Rosario, the Storm Chasers number 1 through 8. You're getting 8 comics. So make sure you pledge to the campaign. It's going on until Saturday, June 11th. That is 71 hours, according to Kickstarter. Scary numbers, baby. Yeah. But let's get it. And remember, we were talking about this. I don't know if it was on this show or the show we just did, but remember, guys, that even though it says funded at $3,600, Kickstarter still has to take some stuff out of that. So we want to get it over. We want to get it over.
Got to pay the piper.
Got to pay. So
yeah. Man has his hands in my pocket.
That's right. And now with the new tax breakdowns, I'm sweating next year in April. So proprietor doesn't seem like that's going to be claimed anymore, man.
Oof,
damn. You know,
you got to do the LLC, bro.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
But guys, thanks for having me here, fellas. I do appreciate it. Yeah, for letting me speak on it. Thanks for letting me have some laughs. You know, sometimes you go on shows with these guys, and it's very, Bueller. And it's like, you gotta put your best face on. But when you can relax and chill, it's a good moment.
Best, man, because this is you. You know what I mean? Like, this is you. This is not like a robot. This is you. This is who JD is. So this is good. I'm glad you brought it like this, bro.
Bring the fire, bro.
You got to give them the solo screen. You got to give them the whole.
Yeah. So this is where you're gonna get to do your elevator pitch. The screen's yours. You let them have it.
Oh, wow. I had that wonky face going on. All right. Compose myself. Folks, thank you for checking out the show. Thank you for spending a little bit of time with me here. Thank you for looking at the mess that's behind me. The Storm Chasers right now is still going on Kickstarter for the next 3 more days. You can get 8 issues for $40 that includes shipping, and it's 200 pages of superhero content. If that's not enough for you, we've got graphic novels that you can add on. We've got other books such as zombie books, if superhero stuff is not your thing, that you can add on. Anything from this point is appreciated. And if you're not into comic books, maybe you know somebody who is. Hopefully you can share that with them. Thank you.
Outstanding. Look at that. Well to the said. Point, well man. The guy just said thank words. You. He's like, yo. Said,
thank you, bro.
Bro, that's Comic-Con experience. Comic-Con experience, bro.
That's years of experience right there, bro. Nah, but Jay, thank you so much for coming. Yo, dude, you're welcome anytime. Even if you don't have anything that you're promoting.
Yeah, no, that's cool, man.
Come and talk, talk shop with us, man. This is fun.
Whenever you need filler, let me know. I'm down to say what's up. You know what I mean?
All right.
Cool. All right.
Perfect, my brother. Hang out, guys. We're just gonna
cool beans. Cool beans. All right. Bye.
All right, so that was the man, J.D. Rosario. Funny as hell.
Yeah, I told you. I told you he was funny.
I told you.
You didn't believe me, man. I think I was playing with you. You have to throw that MA real quick.
As soon as he dropped the first F-bomb, it's like TVMA, bang.
I was like, everybody, make sure. But listen, make sure you guys pledge to the campaign. The Storm Chasers is going through June 11th. At 8 p.m., that's Saturday, June 11th at 8 p.m. is when it ends. Make sure you throw a couple of bucks his way. Make sure that, he's at 93 backers. Let's get him to at least 100, and let's get at least to the next stretch goal, which is a $4,000 stretch goal.
Man, what's up with
that? Let's do this. He can do it. And it's quality stuff, bro. Like, if you look at this, just quality stuff. So make sure you check it out. Support indies. Do your thing. I know you guys do. But, man. And don't forget,
What I found fascinating about the interview and just about him, if you listen to it, and for anybody who's aspiring to create comics or whatever, if you listen to everything, he's put in a lot of thoughts in from the logo design, the characters, the influence, the impact on branding it a certain way and not alienating a base, you know, all these fundamentals that most people just take for granted, don't even consider. He's looking at long-term impact because he's trying to grow a business and a brand. I thought that was fascinating. If you didn't pick up on that, go back and play this again. We definitely got to get him back on the show just to go over his creative process and how he moves in the game. But I thought that was fascinating.
Yeah, no, it was good. It was a good interview. He's a good guy, fun guy, full of energy, man. He brought the energy today. So thank you, JD, for coming on and chatting with us and being open, man. He wasn't holding anything back. You know, he ask him a question, he'll answer. He doesn't care.
Yes.
So good to have him on the show. But don't forget, guys, also Sam's got a campaign that is running now. Yes. Until when does it end?
Mine ends
end of the month.
I know it's the end of the month. So mine ends June 30th at 7 p.m. Central Time.
There you go. So make sure you go in there. There's an Alien in My Toilet number 2. So if you picked up number 1, this is number 2. Get it. Add it to your collection. There's some more goodies in there. There's some
Who doesn't want a free magnet? What's up? You know,
free magnets.
Uranius. Come
on. Remember, if you are feeling generous and you want to donate some books to comic books for kids, Sam is also rewarding you with a sketch card at no cost to you. That is free.
That's just me, you know, doing what I love to do and draw, and you get a little piece of that. And it comes, you know, in a nice little sealed plexi. You're not just going to get the card thrown in. That's going to be protected.
Look at you.
I'm just saying, you know, I got nothing but love for you. So, hook a brother up. Let's, if you're waiting, jump on. Let's get this going. Got 21 days left.
21 days.
This campaign can't do worse than the first one. Come on. First one was such a stellar campaign, and now we're just struggling to even meet that expectation. So I need you out there if you haven't done so already. If you haven't done so already. Someone's saying that we hit 600. Subscribers on the channel?
No.
You hit really? Straight. Yo, we got to 600. What's up with that?
Oh, 600. What? Numbers.
Hercules. Yeah. Yo, quiero trago. Yo, that's awesome.
JD brought him.
What's up?
That's fantastic. Thank you guys.
Whoever you were, because whoever it is, their accounts are private, so I don't know who they are. thank you so much. I didn't get an alert, so that means the accounts are private. So whoever you are, thank you so much for getting us to that hurdle 600 mark. We got to celebrate that tomorrow morning on the Morning Brew with the Crazy Crew.
Yes, indeed. Tomorrow morning, don't forget. Yeah, 9 a.m. 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Make sure you
join us tomorrow
with us. Yeah, Morning Brew. Let's do this. My brother, and big shout out to the chat, man. It was live tonight. It was live. Michael San Martino always bringing it. Jonathan
Sipes.
Mark Wynn. Gil. Everybody who was in here. JD Calderon was in here throwing shots. I love it.
Oh, dang. And you got a guest. What's that? Was hosting my own show, but came in to say, Medina, read your messages. Oh, hey. Straight up shot.
Always taking the shot. Even when we're about to come off. JD was interested. He was good.
He was fascinating.
Yes. So, you know, with that said, don't forget, if you haven't done so already, you know, there you go for the two, subscribe to the channel. When we grow, the independent community grows, you know, so more eyes on us, more eyes on them. And that's why we create Cast the Craze. And J.D. Rosario is a prime example of why we do it. I mean, just the passion, the energy, you know, the knowledge, he's just bringing it. So that was fantastic. So I'll be flatting what you guys do the morning, bro. Cool.
All right.
Yes, bring your coffee. Get that Bustelo, bro. So with that said, I'm Sad the Crazy Man, Vera.
George the Dreamer Medina.
Peace. And we are out. Where's that outro? No, I was talking about my friend Aquise. I met him.
Say my name, say my name.
This is what you were thinking?
He described me. He said, I'm the idiot.
You're listening to Catch the Craze. You're listening to Catch the Craze. You are listening to Catch the Craze.
Catch the Craze.
You're listening to Catch the Craze.